Hollywood does a great job of this. They put together sequels of various movies. Probably the one that may have started it was Star Wars. We looked at that last week, and now what are we? We saw the first three, and now we're coming to the fifth one in that series of nine. You see that with Jurassic Park. They're now at what? Jurassic Park 3, I think. You see that with other movie series. One of them that has become very popular is a series based on this character called The Mummy. And in fact, it's very popular at Universal Studios. We have passes there. And they've now created a whole area where you can walk through. It's kind of a haunted house kind of deal. And part of the tour that everybody goes on goes into a cave that has these beetles and all those weird critters, if you've ever seen these. But one of the things that fascinates me about this is just we are fascinated by the East. We're fascinated by history and by what they can create. And one of the advantages of this series is that it asks a lot of good questions about what will happen in the future. What will take place? And in fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a clip here in just a minute. And this clip, the reason I'm showing you this is for a couple of reasons. The whole idea of reincarnation is presented here, but also some statements that are made by, if you will, the mummy concerning going and getting the lost soul of somebody. Can that happen? Does that take place? In the second movie, they find the mummy's remains, and they brought him back to this museum. And what we're going to observe here is a little ritual as they attempt to bring the mummy back to life. So watch this with me, will you? And then we're going to evaluate it.
Do not be frightened.
I am not afraid.
Having a bad hair day? All right, a couple of interesting thoughts there. Interesting images, what they can do with Hollywood and makeup and all those kinds of things. So we think about this. The idea of reincarnation is presented there. The idea of going back once someone has died and going back and reviving their soul and bringing their soul from one place to another place is a thought that runs through that clip. Just a number of different ideas. What about all these? And more importantly, what does the Bible have to say about some of these thoughts? Okay, so we're in a series now entitled Movie Madness. And today we're looking at Will the Mummy Return? Now, let's see if we can begin this first and foremost. Let me ask you this. Will the mummy Now, somebody brought that up too quickly. Put that thing back.
No.
All right. Will the mummy return?
No.
Now, even if that didn't say no, think about that. Is that an idea that is biblical? I mean, it's entertainment, and we like it, and we enjoy it, and that's fun, but just the whole idea of will the mummy return? Now you can bring it up. There we go. And on your outline, you'll see a place for this. You'll see a little space there. It says, will the mummy return? And the idea is no. Well, the reason he will not return, nor will anybody else return, continuing on your outline, it says, no reincarnation. The Bible does not teach reincarnation. Now, the verse we're looking at here is Hebrews 9:27. And I want you to read this with me, okay? Read it together. Just as man is destined to die once. All right. The Bible teaches that we are destined to die how many times? Not twice, not three times, not four times. We're not going to come back as a higher creature or a lower creature or any kind of a creature. The Bible does not teach reincarnation. Well then, what exactly does the Bible teach in regard to this whole subject of once somebody dies? What happens according to what actually Jesus said is what we're going to look at. We're going to look at his words in a number of different places. I've had people discuss with me this whole subject that we're getting into, and they say, well, I think or I believe. And I respect what they think or believe, but I'm going to test it by what Jesus actually said in terms of this subject. All right, let's begin then with the idea and another question, is there a literal hell? All right, does the Bible teach that there is a literal hell? And what we're going to do this morning is we are going to look at the doctrine of hell and the lake of fire. This is not one of the more popular messages to teach, and you will see why as I continue to go through it, but yet we have to understand this. And in fact, this should be a great motivation for us because of those we know who do not know the Lord. Now, the Bible teaches that when a believer dies, 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I did a memorial service yesterday. The moment that that individual died, she was a believer in Jesus Christ. The moment she was with the Lord. That is what the Bible teaches. Now, but what about the other side of that? What about somebody who doesn't know the Lord, who has not trusted him as their personal Savior? What do we do there? Okay, number one then, on your outline, it's actually not number one, but there's some statements here. First statement is this: hell is a place. Hell is a place. Now, there's a couple of references to this. Jesus makes some indications and some statements about this. The first one is in Luke chapter 10, verse 15. He's been talking to an army officer here, and actually, no, that's not this reference. He's making some statements, though, about a city in an area that are not honoring to the Lord. And he says this, "And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths." This is a reference to hell. Where is hell? You know what? I don't know. We're not sure. It could be in the center of the earth. It could be somewhere else. It indicates that it is, you go down to the depths, wherever it is located. You go down to it. All right, second reference, Luke 16. And this is probably the strongest story in the New Testament dealing with this subject. It has to do with who? Two individuals, the rich man and Lazarus. Now, in this particular story, you have them living their lives, the rich man in luxury and all of this. The poor man, Lazarus, barely able to get along. But Lazarus knew the Lord. When he died, where does it say he goes? And where does the rich man go? Now, Luke 16:23 continues the story, and it's talking about the rich man, and it says, the rich man in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Now, there's a number of references to heaven in the New Testament. Abraham's bosom, kind of an interesting term, but it's one of them. It's an Old Testament reference. Now, many people look at this and say, this is a parable. Now, Christ used parables to teach truths. And he does this all through his ministry. The thing about this, though, in a parable, there is no formal name. That is so important. In this story, there is a formal name, Lazarus. This is not a parable. And I've had people say, well, that's just a parable, Pastor. I said, no, it's not. We'll see an example of a parable in a few more verses. This is very important. This is a story. Christ is teaching a truth here. And the truth is very sobering, that someone who does not know God as their personal Savior at the point of death goes to a place called hell. And it's not a fun place. It is a real place. Let's say this is a parable. All right? Let's say it is. I've told you it isn't, but let's say it is. What is this parable teaching? It's teaching that people who don't know the Lord, when they die, go to hell. All right. The next one, Matthew 25:46. I've done a message entitled An Outline of Things to Come. It's out of Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. Jesus continues to explain what happens to people as you get near the end of Matthew chapter 25. And again, it's very sobering. They will go away to eternal punishment. Those who do not know God or have trusted Christ as their Savior, but the righteous, those who know Him, to eternal life. There is an obvious difference where people go once they have trusted Christ and those who have not trusted Christ. Folks, what we are talking about here is incredibly important. This is what we are about as a church. I'm going to emphasize this. It's going to get more intense as I keep going through this message. People are dying and going to hell. And we got to do something about that. Because Jesus said, you are the ones that are going to make a difference. I'm using men and women to reach this community, this area for Christ. All right, little question. There's a box, I think, on your outline. Is hell eternal? Is hell eternal? In other words, does it go on and on and on and on and on forever? All right. The answer to that is no. Hell is not eternal. Now, before you stone me, you're going to read your Bible. Is hell eternal? No, it is not. Let me tell you what is eternal. Next line. The lake of fire is eternal. All right, let's look at a couple of references that help us to understand this. Let me put this together. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. In Revelation 20, hell gives up the people in it. They are judged. This is called the great white throne judgment. This is for unbelievers who do not know the Lord, who have died and gone to hell. They stand before God. The books are open, and their names are not found in it. And as a result of that, if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Hell is done at that point. Revelation 21:8. In Revelation 21:4, there's a huge contrast here between believers who know the Lord and where they will be in heaven. No pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no death is 21:4. Then in 21:8, he contrasts that with who will be in hell, the cowardly, the unbelieving, which starts this whole passage. The unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, sexually immoral, those who practice arts, idolaters, all have their place will be where, folks? In the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is called the second death. Oh, this is a fun message. What is the difference then between hell and the lake of fire? Not a whole lot. It would be, let me see if I can illustrate it this way. We lived in Folsom, California before we moved here. And I visited the jail, the prison in Folsom, California. And it was interesting to hear that a number of the inmates at the Folsom jail, first of all, were down in Los Angeles at the county jail for trial. They spent time in the county jail, then when and if they were convicted, they were then sent to Folsom Prison for their term. Kind of a parallel. Hell could be likened to the county jail. The lake of fire to prison. Is there a whole lot of difference between them? No, not really. They're both awful, terrible places to be. All right, let's talk now about the lake of fire. On your outline, you're going to see. And what I'm going to do is just go through a couple of verses. We have glimpses of it in the New Testament. And we're going to look at those. Okay, first and foremost, it is a place of death. Now, the Bible teaches the immortality of the soul. Your soul will go on forever. You will not be annihilated. But it's interesting, in some of the analogies here, it's a place of death. A better word here would be the word separation. Write the word separation on that same line. There's enough room for that. Separation. It is a place of separation. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. We looked at verse 15 just a minute ago. We're backing up one verse now to verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. That is why hell does not go on forever. It is cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. That is what the scripture calls it, the second death. And the idea here, the synonym for death is separation. All right. The place of separation, it is a place of separation from God and from God's people. You are separated from them for all eternity. When you physically die, if I were to physically die right now, my body would just slump down in this chair. But my spirit or my soul would go somewhere else. That's physical death. Spiritual death is my soul, from the presence of God, being separated from the presence of God. That is spiritual death. That separation is called hell. All right. It is a place of death where we will be separated from the Lord and from people who have trusted Him as their personal Savior. But there's more. The lake of fire is a place of darkness. A place of darkness. Well, you say it's a lake of fire. How can it be dark? Well, we don't understand everything about this, but these are Jesus' own words. Let me give them to you. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus teaching a truth here, talking about those who do not know the Lord, as he comes to verse 12. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness. He is talking about unbelievers here, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that's an interesting picture. Weeping, they would say, is because of their sin and separation now from God. Gnashing of teeth is just a grinding of your teeth. Just an intense loss and separation. Jesus is speaking these words, thrown outside into the darkness, talking about hell at this point. Matthew 22:13. Here's the parable now. of the going out and rounding up people to come in and to enjoy the feast. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness. In this example, there was one that didn't change into proper clothing. Jesus, again, using a truth to talk about those who don't know him. And throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The lake of fire will be a place of darkness. See, I've had people say this. You know what? I'm going to party hardy because all my friends are going to be in hell with me. And we're going to have a great time together. Folks, nothing is further from the truth than that. There is death. There is separation from God. The pictures that we have, there is no party in hell. It's a terrible place. We can't even imagine it. This was interesting. Talking with my kids this week, I can show a clip from another movie, and I almost decided to do it. It's from a movie called What Dreams May Come. And it is as graphic picture of hell. And I talked to my kids, and they said, no, I don't think you should show that, Dad. And we talked about it. And I decided not to. I may sometime. But folks, it's 10 times worse than what is in that movie. And that movie is really intense. It shows a ship on fire and a lake of fire. It shows another place where there's all these heads buried in the ground. Just pictures and ideas of how bad it can be. And it's going to be 100 times worse than that. It's eternal night. It's a place of darkness. Number three, the lake of fire is a place of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 10. We're now at the end of, we're coming to the end of the New Testament. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. The reality is, they are talking about the lake of fire here. That is where people go who do not know the Lord. Even though it's talking about the false priest and false prophet and the beast, this is where people go. This is where your neighbors will go. This is where your family members will go. Yeah, this is an easy message, isn't it? This is what is going to happen according to the Bible. Pain and agony. Forever. For all eternity. Punishment. This is no party. Don't even deceive yourself by that. The lake of fire, finally, is a place of torment. I told you it's going to get worse before it got better, folks. There are two verses here. One's in 2 Thessalonians, where we're at, and another one's coming in Revelation 14, that I shudder at these verses. They, speaking of those who do not know the Lord, who are against Him, against His plan, against His work, they will be punished with what? Everlasting destruction. And shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. Folks, how long is everlasting for? Forever and ever and ever. The lake of fire is an incredible place of torment. We can't even imagine. Not even close. Look at Revelation 14:11. This is referring to those who have received the mark of the beast during the tribulation. But their place is the same place everybody else will go. And the smoke, listen to this, the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in His image, or for anyone who receives the mark of His name. Now this is, again, referring to that time during the tribulation. But that is the lake of fire, folks. the smoke of their torment rises forever? Okay. I've had people come to me and say, all right, Pastor, this is unfair, this is unjust, and this is unnecessary. And I say, okay, these are not my words. These are God's words. First of all, I am the mail boy. And it is my responsibility to take this book and deliver the mail. All right. Beyond that, you can take this verse down if you would, please. People make choices in their lives. The greatest mistake anyone can make in their life is to leave God out of their life, God out of their plans, and say, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to live my own life, I don't care what anybody says. That, my friends, is the worst mistake that anyone can make. And unfortunately, many people are living life their own way, and here's what's going to happen. God says, I'm going to make it permanent then. You're going to choose to live that way, I'm going to make it permanent for you then, for all eternity. You made the choice. You see, God could have made us robots. We've talked about that, with no mind or anything. And we just follow Him, if you will, blindly. But He said, no, I'm going to give you a choice, as men and women, to follow Me, to live for Me, to trust Me. And He gives us a choice. And unfortunately, a lot of people today are turning their back on that choice. Now, our responsibility is to live before people. Our responsibility is to befriend them. Our responsibility is to invite them. But their heart, they still have to make the choice to receive Christ. Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we saw a couple of weeks ago, dealt with this actually last week, that the Holy Spirit draws people. That's part of His work in His ministry. But God still leaves really the most important work in one sense to you and me to do this. This is the most important decision of your life, to receive Christ as your Savior. This is the most important message that we can give in our lives. Folks, I've never done a message like this on hell and the lake of fire. This was not an easy message to prepare for. But if I don't tell you the truth, I'm not doing my job. And what I've shown you is the truth, because this book says so. Now, what I want to do right now is turn 180 degrees and say, look, we've talked about hell, death, the lake of fire, and that is important, we understand that. What are we going to do as God's people? And actually, we need a little break here for a second. I'm going to ask Val to come up, and she's going to sing a song that maybe you've heard before. And the focus, where our focus needs to be, is not on ourselves, but our focus needs to change, and it needs to be on others. So let's listen to the words of this song.